The angels cried one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, that, Lord, that we thank you, dear God, Lord, that we have a promise, dear God, Lord, that you're with us, God. You will be with us, hallelujah. You'll never forsake us, God. Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for, dear God, Lord, the God, Lord, that you're with us, dear God, Lord, the power of your name, God. We thank you, dear God, Lord, that there's an anointing within us, God, from you, God, that you've given to us, God. Lord, that we walk in, dear God, Lord, in your power, in your might, God. And Lord, everything within us, dear God, Lord, as we cry out, holy, 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 God. Lord, that every within me thing we rest because you're greater than anything else, hallelujah. You're more powerful, you're more mighty, God, hallelujah, that we know, hallelujah, like the angels declared your name and who you are, God. Lord, that we can set it within us and say, hallelujah, Emmanuel, God with us, hallelujah. Emmanuel, God with us, hallelujah. He's in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent, hallelujah, and stand before him and cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're holy. I thank you, God, Lord, that when I worship your name, something within me agrees with it. It cries, holy, holy, holy. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for who you are in me. I thank you for who you are in these people here tonight, God. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that we just come to the place of agreement, to God, Lord, of your greatness, your power, and that Emmanuel was within us. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. And we bless your name. Jesus' name, amen. Come on, just bless him. Hallelujah. Come on, just shout unto God. Shout unto God. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Come on, just shout to God. Bless his name. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Let us all rejoice. Hallelujah. Let us all rejoice. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. For the King has come. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Children may go to their classes. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. You love Jesus? I said, yeah, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. That's only why I keep on doing what I'm doing, because I love Jesus. Amen. Come on. Amen. Is that why you're here? Because you love Jesus. Amen. If anything alters that, don't let nothing alter that. Your love for Jesus. Come on, amen. Don't let nothing alter that. Let nothing take that from you. You keep going because of Jesus. Because people can deter you. People can cause you to get off track. But you keep loving Jesus, amen. What was it you said, brother? Brother Dan, what was the what you said about the love? When we have Christian failure, it's always a fail of love. When you fail as a Christian, it's always because you failed at loving. Come on. Hear me tonight. Amen. It's love. It's love. 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 Amen. Look at somebody and say, love. Love. Oh, come on. You didn't say that like you meant it. Look at someone and say, love. Love. It's all right, man. It's all right. I just, you know what? If you're not in love with people, you just press into Jesus. Keep pressing into Jesus because you'll love somebody. You'll learn to love one another. Amen? I'm going to preach to you tonight a simple message. A little message, a simplicity of something that we have had a failure of in the church and with being Christians. And I just hope I want us to correct ourselves and keep us on track. Amen? Say amen to that. Amen? Keep us on track and keep going and keep pressing into what God has for us. Because like my wife said, that we do struggle with some things. Thank you, Pastor Dan. See, this guy, he's on guard, man. They're going to keep going until I say, huh? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Simon says, no. Come on, Amen. Let him know. Appreciate the praise team, the singers, everybody, man. I appreciate them. They get here at 5:30 and they worship and practice, and I appreciate it. Set the atmosphere. Amen? Amen. My wife was talking about that this time of the year is a time that you can get sidetracked. Come on, with everything going on and there's so much distraction. Say distraction. There's things out there that get you, because come on, you begin to focus on what you don't have to buy for somebody, or what you don't have enough of this, or you look at all this, you wish you could do more, and you begin to regret things, you begin to wish things, and sometimes families get together, and if you got chaos in your family, it only makes more chaos. Come on, amen. But I want you to hear something. We got to understand what this is all about, amen. What this is all about. And you know what, honestly, I appreciate everybody that came out Wednesday, and I appreciate it, because you know what, you come and... We are coming here. I don't look at it as just like we decorated this church just for Christmas for people to feel good. Listen, I'm telling you what, I look at it and I know the ones that did it. We do it because we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. I'm going to say it again. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. Amen. And I know the process that I went through to celebrate my daughter's birthday. I put a lot of balloons up and do all kinds of stuff. And now she's getting older, it's a little bit easier. I don't have to do all that stuff. But I remember, amen, going to get the pony for the pony ride and doing all that stuff. And that was the first year. That was the last year for all the farm animals. Amen. But I'll never forget it. But I want you to know that I put the time in it. Amen. Because I love doing it. I love doing it. Amen. That's love doing things for God. That's love being involved in celebrating and think about ourselves and think, man, I'm doing this because I love Jesus. Amen. I'm in the kitchen because I love Jesus. I'm at the door because I love Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody say, I'm on a praise team because I love Jesus. I love it. I just love to be in church. I mean, I love to be in church. As much as stuff goes on and things happen and things get you off course, I love church. I love to be around people. I love to worship. I love to praise. And I know I just love standing back and worshiping with the praise team. Amen? Am I your loudest praiser? So you be my biggest amener over there. All right. Amen. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. All right. But we were talking about how sometimes things distract us and things cause us maybe not to act like Christians. Sometimes this time of the year causes us not to stand in our maturity as a Christian. And I just want us to see this, but I'm going to give you a scripture to cause you to look in the mirror sometimes, because sometimes you look in the mirror and you think that you're not what you think you should be, or not who you should be, or this or that, but we need to be like David. Psalms 139, 14. And I don't know what version you have of this, but y'all know this one. There it is. That's it. Yeah. Hang on. Wait a minute. That's what... He says, thou knowest my downsetting. He says, I praise thee. I'll praise thee. I will praise you. I will praise you. Listen, I want you to know David got victory. Come on, help me tonight. David got victory in his life. You need some victories in your life. Come on, right now, I want you to declare that. You need some victories, whatever it is, whatever you're facing. You need some victories. Sometimes we just need to declare it and speak it and let it be. Amen? We need to declare it and declare it and declare it and praise Him. No matter what, just keep declaring it. I praise thee, for I am fearfully... and I am wonderfully made. Hallelujah. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That you are made wonderful. Tell your neighbor you're wonderful. You are the best that He's ever made. You're the best. You're the best. You are the best, Dan, ever. You are His favorite. Because there's nobody else like you. I'm God's favorite, Chris. You're God's favorite, Kelly. See, you're God's favorite, Emma. See, we got to see this. Listen to me. Even in, there's another version, he says that fearfully and complex. It talks about being complex, that I am complex. Listen, God has made, there's no other, nothing like who you are in your being and who you are. Listen, God has never made anything without purpose. How much more do you understand the design that is in you for this moment, for this time, for who you are? It awes me. And sometimes I got to look in the mirror and say, you're wonderful. Shucks. Like Gomer Powell. Amen. We just lost Gomer. Amen. But, I just think about that, and I think that we have to recognize how wonderful we made, how beautiful you are. And we got to remind ourselves of this. And I want you to know that when you remind yourself of this and causes yourself to wake up, it will cause you to act different. See, because when you think you're garbage, you'll treat everybody like garbage. If you don't think you're worth anything, you'll treat everybody else like they're worth anything. If you don't like who you are, you'll have a hard time liking anybody else. I'm helping you tonight. Amen? Come on. We got to understand this, see, because when we decide to understand that God made me, God took time to design me, created me in the image and likeness. I think it overwhelms me at that one time that God spoke and here's His creation, all of us, amen, at the beginning of time, that here they are, that the collectiveness of all His creation, that God spoke this, and there would be a select moment of my date of birth that God would deliver me and send me forth into this earth, into this moment, into this time, like Paul and like David and like all those men and women of God, that God had a plan for you, a design, a purpose, right here, right now, in this moment, to deliver the image and likeness in the earth around Him. Amen? I want you to get excited about this, because I want us to see this. I can't keep this on my head. But I want us to understand this, that He's, and I want you to know that God believes that you matter. God believes you matter. God's, your voice matters. What happens around you matters to God. It's an influence. Let's look at the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:20. And it says, therefore, you don't have to go there. If you want to go to Luke 9, 1 through 2 for now. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. I love that version, that He was making an appeal through us of His Son. He was making an appeal. See, and I want us, this stops to make us wonder. Listen to me. He thinks about you greater than you do yourself. He didn't mess up. The way that He created you, of who you are, for the moment you're in, for the people you're around, to be an influence, to touch lives, to have a purpose and a plan. See, when we focus on this and we understand this and see this, He says that you are, that we appeal. I want you to ask you a question. Are you appealing to people? Are we appealing? Are we appealing? Are we representing Christ? Are we being the ambassadors? Are we representing? I want that. Come, I'm going to say it again. Are they looking at us and saying, I want what she got? See, I want that. I'm just asking this for us to challenge ourselves. Amen. That's why we're here. Amen. That we come to a place where we challenge ourselves and say, man, I want to be like that, like Jesus. When this always awes me, and I love it, because he's walking on a beach. Never met these dudes in his life, and maybe they knew of him or something. They had to have known of him because where he was, and he really wasn't sent out at that time. And he was walking on the beach, and as he was walking on the beach, just chilling, man. He's there, but he knew that there were some ones that he was going to use to appeal all creation and others through the universe, through generation to generation. These men would be men that would accept his challenge and would receive it and be an appeal, be a representative, an ambassador of his message in the earth. But this is always awes me. When he walks past them, he looks at them and he says, come and follow me. And what did they do? They didn't ask to pack their bags. And it just gets me. Either it's a lie, because it doesn't say anything else. Why? That he amazed them? That they were in wonder of him? Come on, help me tonight. It doesn't say anything. It just says they followed him. I mean, listen, my mom told me, don't follow the strangers. I mean, I'm sure they knew this then. Father John told them, listen, hey, I don't care how old you are, don't follow any strangers. Here's Jesus, the bearded one, in a robe. And they take off. It says they abandoned, they walked with him, forsaking everything. And I tell you, that to me, just something about Him, His appeal of the kingdom of God was infectious. Caused those ones to uproot. That's what Jesus does. He caused you to uproot. Hallelujah. To leave places where that you're familiar with. Places where you're comfortable with. He caused you to leave those places that you know where you set yourself in. Say, I'm staying here. I'm not moving from here. And Jesus walks by and sets everything on fire. Changes everything. Changes the course of your life. That's what He wants to do. He wants us to cause us to be on course with what He's doing. Amen? To be on course with His message so that we be an appeal. And sometimes we got to get our attention. Sometimes we got to get ourselves back on track again and follow Christ. Not myself like we've been talking about before, but we need an appearing of Jesus in our lives. Not an appearing of Chris in the flesh. Because, listen, my appeal is selfish. Who I am in my flesh. Man is selfish in his flesh, in his old nature, in that Adam nature. Come on, amen? It's hateful, argumentative, all that old nature is. But in Christ, I'm appealing. You're appealing in Christ. Do you get me? Hear me tonight. And I want us to see this and understand that He says that I beseech you that by us we pray that Christ is dead. That you be reconciled to God. That I affect you. I affect you enough that you run after God and say, I need to run after Jesus. That when wherever you're at, you're Walmart, that infectiousness that you affect somebody, that they get around you and they say, man, I gotta get to church. I gotta get in church. That I'm tired of the church representing that causes people to say, I don't want to go to church no more. I want us to be in a place where we cause people, the love that's within us causes people to leave where they are. To say, I got to leave this place of anger. I got to leave this place of hurt and go where this is. I need to go in that place of love. What you're infected with, I need to be infected with. So I've been thinking about this. But I want you to know that there's some things we got to practice. Let me help you here. Let me just look at you. Okay? Thank you, Randy. A beautiful light. I appreciate it. He's always thinking of me. Appreciate it. Listen. And it says, he said this, he says in verse 9:1-2, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together. And he says, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He's empowered them. That same anointing is on you. That same effect, that same appeal is upon you. Amen? As much as it is to appeal to people, it causes demons to run. Not to you, but from you. Come on, amen? Because when Jesus was in the room, guess what? They didn't stay very long. I want it to be in a place where that those that are, where that things happen in the Spirit, they recognize what Spirit I'm of. That I have the Spirit of Christ upon me. Come on, amen? That I'm represented by, and I'm backed by one who's greater than me. That I'm not representing myself. That I've come to a place where I laid my crown down. That I have a higher authority and His name is Jesus Christ. And those that come in my presence run and flee that are afraid of that. Amen? That's power. That's the power and authority He was talking about. Things that were usurping authority, taking hold, causing affliction on men and women of God. I want you to know that is appealing to see that these disciples came in and they laid hands on the ones that no one wanted to lay hands on. Those that had leprosy. I've seen leprosy. I've been in a leprosy camp and it's not pretty. People with mangled bodies and tormented with this disease. Today, nowadays, they still have leprosy camps. It breaks my heart. But I want you to know that they had power to walk in the midst of those things and they had power over those sicknesses and diseases because they recognized that they were fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image and likeness. It was nothing that they had. It was what was given to them as a gift. That they didn't take it on themselves as thinking, I have something. No, I've been given something, an authority, an anointing, and I want to do what God's purposed me to do in the earth. Amen? Am I making sense? And them authority over all devils. I'll say all devils. Sometimes you got to name some of them things. Tell them to get out. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them. He released them. I want you to know that, listen, do you know, understand that we have been released to preach the kingdom of God, to show the kingdom of God, the message, righteousness, peace, and joy. And listen, I want you to understand something that has to begin somewhere. Tell your neighbor, you've got to begin somewhere. We love the idea of miracles. I love it. I love the idea of all these other things, and I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles happen. But I want you to know that there's something that we have to do to begin to start the process of walking with Him. And I want you to understand something. There's something we need to practice. And it's a simple thing. You ready for this? I'm going to blow you away. Be nice to people. That's an amazing revelation. If you're mean to people and then tell them you want to pray for them, if you've been rude to somebody for a tremendous amount of time and then you want to witness to them, help me, Jesus. Practice to be nice. See, what I mean by that, because we don't go by our feelings, letting our feelings cause us to react or to act a certain way. Sometimes we do that. But we need to act and let our feelings respond to the way that we act. That means that, you know what, we have the power because Christ within us, that it's okay that sometimes you don't feel like being nice. And some, well, that's fake. Listen, I would rather have somebody fake. I forget what I thought of. I'd rather have someone fake and being nice than somebody lying, being mean. You can fake it. Because that means that you're pushing your flesh back. It's like, I remember a guy saying it one time. He says, he's miserable looking. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, if I don't feel like smiling, I'm just not going to smile. I said, well, you're never smiling anymore. What's wrong with you? He said, well, I'm going to go with what I feel. I'm not going to fake it. And listen, if that works for you, it's fine. I said, but it's not working for me. Because I don't even like looking at you when you're that miserable. So do me a favor. You don't have to do it for you. Smile for me. Because you're mean looking. Listen, I want you to hear, listen, I want us to get this and understand this. It's just the little things, the practicing to be nice to one another. Amen. Just practicing to be nice. That when someone comes in or wherever you're at, especially in ministry, from the praise team to the doorkeepers to the kitchen to the children's ministry, all of us, just be nice to one another. Amen. Start by that. I want you to know it does something. Amen. It creates an atmosphere. How many of you have ever been to Disney? Do you know why it's magical? It's not there's just rides. It's not anything else. It's not all that. If those are nice, those add to it. It's the people making you feel great because they're so nice. I've been there enough. I understand. When you walk in the door, you are like the best. Yep,
so glad you're here. So happy.
I don't care. I don't.
What's that?
You're their guest.
Yeah, you're their guest. I don't care if you're faking it. You made me feel so good. I wore a pin. It was my birthday. Oh my God. I've never had so many people go, wait a minute. Honestly, people with attendees would come running over. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You know, I was like, oh, I love this.
This is church, man, and I had a prophetic word over me because I told my wife on the way home on the plane, I said, Kelly, I want our church to be like Disney. I had a prophetic word. Now, that's crazy talk, right? You think, I had a guy prophesy over me, only met me one time, and he come up to me and he says, man, this is weird. I said, what? He said, God just told me. He says, man, he says, your church is going to be like Disney. Honest, right hand to God. And I about flipped over because that was only between me and my wife. And I'm thinking, what? So I want you to get this and understand. It's infectious. It means something. That's in the world. How much more do we got? Hallelujah. See, well, I want you to know that when we project that image, there's something about that that creates something. It causes those who want us to want to be around you. Hang out with you. Be close to you. So he goes and he says, I want you to go preach it. I'm not even where I need to be. I am, but I'm saying. He says, I want you to go. And he says, verse 6, it says, and they departed and they went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They went everywhere preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel. Where? Everywhere. Listen, I want you to know that you can be nice everywhere. Sometimes it's easy to let your guard down when you're home. Kick the dog. I want to kick mine. Trust me. Jesus, help me. He's a spitfire, man. You got to be careful. My daughter will get really offended. Anybody know where you got any good shock collars? Please let me know. No. Forgive me, Jesus. No, but listen. But even at home, no matter where you're at, be that. Listen, I want to say this, and I want everybody to get this, that when Jesus said, follow me, they left everything and went after him. I want to ask you and ask myself that, listen to me, who's following me? Am I affecting people to follow me as I follow Christ? Or is nobody following me? And if that's the case, either way, we got to stop and we got to challenge ourselves. Come on, I'm here to challenge myself. I'm here to challenge us as men and women of God, that we don't be stagnant. We challenge our faith, that we be on fire for God, excited about loving Jesus. That we say to ourselves, am I following, is somebody following me as I follow Christ? Is my family, my children, my sons, my daughters? Listen, I want you to hear that and understand that we, or whether if people are following you, am I doing the right things? Am I loving them? Am I doing the right thing to them? Am I giving them Christ? Am I loving them the way Jesus loves them? Amen. Wonderfully and fearfully made. If nobody's following me, what I say to myself, what am I doing wrong? That I need to seek Christ. I need to walk with that love. Am I not being nice to people? Am I not? Am I not being appealing, representing, giving people hope, purpose, and strength? It's not just about casting out devils, and those are great. But we forget that there's other things too. It's the simple things. It's the little things that we do that are greater than any. The Bible says that Jesus went and did miracles and good. Miracles and good. I love that because it wasn't just about the miracles. It was being good. And eventually I want you to know that you practice it enough, releasing this out of you, you ultimately become better at it. You won't have to fake it no more. It's just who you are. He's just a nice guy. I know some people say, well, there's more than just being nice. No, there isn't. Being a nice guy is the first of building a relationship with somebody. And that's what this is about. Having relationships with one another. Being able to speak into some people's lives. I had a guy one time, they told me, he says, listen, you wait. Oh, I said, this guy's amazing. He says, wait. I was driving to go visit somebody. And he says, listen, oh, he says, he's one of the greatest authors I've ever read in my life. I'm okay to share this, I think. Nobody knows this man. He's passed away years ago. But he says, this guy's an unbelievable author. He says, he's good to read, but not to meet. Because he's the meanest guy you've ever been around. But I read his books and I said, wow, you know what? I don't want that image. I'm not even going to go. Because I didn't want that because what I read was awesome. But meeting him wasn't the good thing. And it goes to show you that you can have all the knowledge in the world, but it's the simplest little things. Were you a good person? Are you a good person to people? Are you loving? I want you to know that, listen to me, the world just doesn't need another word. They need people to love them. See, that's the problem we're in right now, where that people hate one another. People are angry with one another because of this and that. It's okay that if you don't believe the way I believe, that I can still like you. Maybe because you grew up a different way than I did, that maybe I don't see the way you think, but it's okay because I'm still allowed to love you because that's what Jesus told me to do. And I'm okay with Him just loving my neighbor. Who's my neighbor? See, I want you to see that Jesus specifically showed a whole thing there about Samaritan because it was people that they didn't love. And Jesus was showing you, that's your neighbor. That one that you don't like, that one that don't agree with, that one person that lives a different way than you think you should be living, love. Because I'm going to tell you something, you will never affect them, you will never let the sow the kingdom into their lives until you love them first, until you just learn to be nice to them first. Because once you affect somebody with hate, you'll never be able to talk to them again. They'll never accept it. They'll never accept what you have to say. But if you're willing to love, I want you to love, never say it again. Love never fails. It never fails. It never, well, but no. Love never fails. Hallelujah. People fail. Systems fail. Kingdoms fail. But love never fails. And that's the kingdom of God. That's it. All right. Listen. They were preaching everywhere. Ephesians 5. Well, I'm going to keep going down. He says, and they departed preaching everywhere. Listen, I want you to hear this. And as they were sowing, as they were going, do you know, listen, this is what's powerful. That right in between this scripture, right in between, did I give you that? Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. But let me just give you this. Listen, and they went everywhere healing. And this is the next part. And it's a caption. It says, Herod is disturbed. Herod is disturbed. Why? Because they were preaching the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So, listen, it wasn't just miracles. It wasn't all. They were preaching the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? They were preaching that there's been a wall divided, that there was freedom to come to God, that there was an opening to hear, come unto God, that God loves you, God cares for you, God wants you. And they came to that place where Herod, he said, they heard all this is done, and he was perplexed and he was angry. I want you to know that what you do in for the kingdom of God will disturb other kingdoms. Anything else you do really doesn't bother the devil. But when you begin to preach the kingdom of God, it disturbs him. It causes him to be perplexed. It causes him to be angry. It causes him to be frustrated. It causes him to lose sleep. See, this is what happened. Because the word got out. I want you to know that when you begin to preach the kingdom of God, and I'm trying to get us to see that just doing the right thing, just being a good man and woman of God in Christ, and just loving one another. I know this is simple, and you think, well, this... No, there's more. No, there's not. Because we're in a problem we are today because people just aren't nice to one another. They don't love one another. The kingdom of God is love. Only way it works. So by us loving one another, it disturbs, it disrupts it. Because I want to have something against you. No matter where you go. Somebody's always angry at something. I get upset with Facebook because it's all... Someone's just mad with somebody because of this or that, because... Sometimes I write on it, I just punch in, I love you. Maybe it'll calm things down, or maybe nobody will notice. But I'll comment. Love you. You're angry, but I love you. Because it was said at that time that John was risen from the dead. Next verse. He says, in some... Elijah had appeared, and others, that one of the old prophets was risen again. He's just trying to find something something to kind of explain this. It was the kingdom of God moving amongst them. It was the kingdom of God moving amongst some people that they were stirred with this message of the kingdom of God. God with us. And he says, and Herod said to John, I have beheaded, but who is this whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Listen to me, I want you to understand something that he sent his disciples out. They were representing his image and his likeness. They were the people. They were the ones that were carrying this message. They were out there and they were affecting things. They were causing darkness to get disrupted. The Bible says our battles are not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and spiritual and high places. And we got to see that and understand that doing that, just flowing in it, walking in the Spirit, just walk in the Spirit, just represent, do the right thing. Sometimes some people say, oh, you don't need a WWJD. Sometimes we need to get some of those bracelets because sometimes maybe you need reminded. Look at that thing on your arm. What would Jesus do? Oh, no, he wouldn't say that. Should I send this? No. Send it? No, I can't send that. Okay, am I helping you? See, it's that. It's that reminding you. Sometimes we need to be reminded that he's with you. Be reminded, don't send it. Because maybe that one comment might cause somebody to... I mean, it doesn't mean that I don't say things to people that just be nice and get walked on. I'm not talking about that. But I'm going to tell you something. You can not get walked on and still be nice. I work in construction. I do it all the time. I can be angry and sin not. Sometimes I'm angry. Next verse. All right. Listen. Did you get that Ephesians 5? Sorry. All right, there we go. It says, be their followers of God. Followers of God. Followers of God, as Jesus did. He says, as dear children, as children. Listen, my father used to tell me all the time, he said, listen to me, you can do whatever you want.
Really?
Absolutely. I remember my dad, we were driving down the road one time, in his pickup truck, coming home from church. I cherish those moments. Some of those nights I didn't feel like going, I just kept going to church, but I remember every those moments, driving home. And his pickup truck in the front seat. I remember him looking over at me. He says, you can do whatever you want, Chris. He says, but I don't want you to know. He says, remember your last name. I just thought about that. He says, and he didn't have to say anything more because I understand what he meant by that. Because he says, it's my name. So whatever you do with my name, you do it as me. Wow. I know I got in trouble a little bit, but I never forgot that. I would run really fast from the cops because I didn't want to get caught. Being real. I never got caught, never got arrested. Should have. But I'm just trying to make it plain and understand that because of that name, because of what my name was. And he says this, therefore, he says, you are my children. You have my name. You have my name. Be nice. See, because if they love you, listen, he says, and walk in love. You're my children, so walk in love. Why? Because I love you. It's not something it's hard to do. No, why? I love you. Do you remember when you were in your filthy rags in that horrible place? I loved you. Love them. He says, as Christ also hath loved us in our pitiful place and hath given himself for us as an offering, as an offering. That's what we do when sometimes we think, well, it's just too hard. No, it's an offering. It's an offering. It's offering my life in the service of, because I'm wonderfully made, that it's not something I have a hard time. I will fit into it if I understand it and walk with it and I don't fight against it. And I realize I have a purpose and a plan is to do the will of God. And the more that I do that, the more I realize it, and the more that I'm fed, and the more that I realize, wow, this is a good thing to do when I tell people that God loves them. And guess what's happening? I'm believing he loves me too. When I can confess it to one another. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The more I confess it, that God loves you, He loves you, and I begin to believe it in my heart and say, well, then I really think He loves me. I'm telling you, that's the truth. See, that's what He says by forgiving one another. See, because if I can't show mercy, I must have a hard time believing that God has given me mercy. People that won't forgive have a hard time forgiving. The biggest problem is, where the root of it is, believing that God forgave you. Because when you forgive, you'll let go. Oh, come on, that's an amen. He says, an offering sacrifice to God as a sweet, not a stench. Because sometimes we represent with stench. I'm not going there. I'm not. He said, but we're sweet-smelling savor. We are sweet-smelling. It's like grandma's house. Man, I remember my grandma every Saturday would bake bread. Almost every Saturday. She'd make it, and it'd be like, she lived in her house, an apartment beside in her house. And I'd smell it. I'd go run it over to grandma's. But then she'd make liver. I'm not going to grandma's. He says it was affecting. He says, and then he went to the apostles. He says, and when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and they took him. Listen, they were so excited. They told him all that we've done. They had purpose. Purpose in their life. It wasn't about anything else. It was like they were sharing what happened, what their experience was. Man, I love this person. It was so unlovable today. I touched this person that maybe, I don't know, God used me to touch them. God used me. I want you to know that you don't think that the moment, every moment you wake up and every moment, that there's a design and a purpose for you in that moment, in that time, that we trust God and we find it and we trust God. We're just moving it. It could be the simplest little thing. I'm telling you, those little things mean more than anything. I'm telling you, those little things add up and they multiply. Because we're not all going to do those, preach to thousands of people. But if thousands of people just do the right thing, we could change the world. Come on, amen? Because we've heard thousands of messages. But if just your neighbor, if one another loves one another, there's something powerful in that. When we come to the understanding that we're one, you and I, we're one in the Spirit, that we're one, that those ones that are lost out there, that we got to get them to know Jesus, hallelujah. I just need you to know Jesus like I know Jesus. That we have passion in our hearts. The enemy hates when you release faith. He hates it. Listen to this. He says, and then all of a sudden it goes down. He says, he took them, and he says, he went out privately in a desert place, and he was preaching the kingdom to them. And he says, and then people that they knew it followed him. They followed him, that they want more. Tell someone, I want more. Boy, I want more. I want more. And as he said, he went, and he went more. I want more. And they received them. They received them. Receive one another. And he says, and he spoke unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them, and he had need of healing. Anyone that had need of healing. And when the day, and it began to wear away, when the day began to wear away, then the 12 came. Send them away. Listen, this is what we can't do with our journey with Jesus. They're with Jesus, but even in the midst of it, sometimes we do get, our flesh gets wore away. Even when we're with Jesus, we got to understand this, that even us as Christians, sometimes in that, we let our flesh cause us to be wear down because of what we're doing, or maybe in the midst of something, maybe you're going to church. Don't let it wear you down. Remember who you're there with, amen? Remember who your strength is. Don't let it wear you down. Don't let the people wear you down. Don't let loving people wear you down. It says, and they were wear down. They became wear down with what they were doing. They were wear down. And it says, I just, when I saw that, it caught to me. of being wore down. And he says, but he said unto them, that it's not about letting your flesh tell you, I just need to take a nap. No. You give them something to eat. You give them. Tell your neighbor, you. You give them. You be appealing to the world. This has been Christ's message forever. You have the kingdom of God. You preach the kingdom. Sometimes we're waiting for Jesus to do something. He is in you. In you. Come on, help me. Listen, I seen a video of a guy that, man, he was going through a hard time with finances and money, and he was just crying out to God, and he felt like he was deserted. No one loved him, and he did some bad things before, and had a bad past and all this stuff, and he ran across somebody that was just doing the right thing, just loved them, and he went up to them, and he could have said to himself, well, if I give this kid, he might do the wrong thing. It's not about what they do, it's what you do. Amen, come on. Somebody said, well, yeah, but they'll just run off and do. That's an excuse. You do what you feel God's telling you to do, and whatever happens to it, happens to it. And he turned around, and he handed this guy the money. He handed him the money. And this guy was on Facebook, and he looked at this money, and he says, I can't believe this. And he opened his heart up, and he says, I could do the wrong things with this money, but that love that they showed to me, well, I can't do anything but the right thing with this money. See, that's powerful. See, that's changing things. That's doing things. And they turn around and walk away. They just walked away. They went away. They gave it and they did it and they walked away. Whatever happens, happens. I trust you, God. You do it, God. That's walking in the Spirit. That's just doing the right things. Well, let me tell you why you're doing things wrong. Sometimes you need to. But we got to do it the right way. We got to do it in love. We have to. So he says... And he says, but give them to eat. But then the story gives a little bit different description in John. And I'm almost done. You okay for a second? You all right? 5 minutes? No trick. See, and it talks about this thing. He says, after Jesus went, he says, the great multitude followed him. And they followed him because of the miracles. They followed him because of the miracles. Because of the things he was doing. And I want you to know that sometimes we as Christians, we wait for something supernatural to happen. I know those are great things and awesome things. But I want you to know I've been walking with God a long time. And I want you to know that those things are great. I've seen amazing miracles and those are awesome. And I'm applauded by them. But it's the still small voice, hallelujah, that causes me to run after Him. Amen. It's a still small voice because, listen, the prophets called down fire. Talk about miracles. And they still didn't follow. A pillar of fire, a cloud following them, a rock that gave them to drink, a walking rock water fountain. Talk about a miracle. Donuts fall from heaven every morning. What's the name of that donut place? Krispy Kreme donuts every day in the backyard. And don't keep them, because we'll get new ones tomorrow. Don't eat that old stuff. Are you talking? That's awesome. Never had to buy a pair of shoes, never wore out. Look at these sandals. Look brand new today. I bought them 40 years ago. I'm just getting us to see this. It's not about those. Those things are great. But the Bible says the miracles are for signs and wonders for people to see that are blind. I'm not preaching down on miracles. You all get me? Come on, amen. But I'm saying to us as men and women of God following Christ, that it's more than that. It's His presence that I want. Hallelujah. It's not the miracles or all the... It's the presence of Christ. And those signs will follow. Hallelujah. They will follow. But we need to know the presence of God. We need to taste it. The presence of God, when it comes off your tongue of being nice and loving one another, that's the presence of God. That's the glory of God in the midst. The Bible says that Moses says, I desire to see the glory of God. And he did. And it says, and the goodness of God passed before him. Tell your neighbor the goodness. That's what it was. The goodness of God was enough. That's powerful. It wasn't sprinkles or all anything. It was the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. The goodness of God, the goodness that comes out of you from God, leads men to repentance. Causes people to take notice. Am I right? And he says, and Jesus went up the mountain, he says, Passover, he says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company unto him. And he says, whence shall we buy this bread? He said, where are we going to buy the bread? Jesus asked him again. I want you to know that Jesus is challenging them because he's trying to get them to see what he sees. He's trying them to take notice that he sees them wonderfully, marvelous, made in his image and likeness, that you have something in you. You've got something in you that I want you to be the appeal to the world. I want you to be my ambassadors. I want you to represent. You've got to get this because I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die and I'm going to be resurrected and you're going to take over this message. You're going to carry it. So you got to get it because you got to preach the gospel. You got to get it initiated into people's hearts. Take notice. So Jesus was pleading to them. He was showing them, listen, it's in you. What are you going to do? And all of a sudden, here's what they do. This is what we do. We let our flesh speak. And he says, and he lifted up his eyes. He saw a great company of God. He says, once, and Jesus thought, oh, what an awesome opportunity for me to teach them and let them be used. And he says, and he said to them, prove them what? That they're worthy. That they got this. God doesn't do things to prove you that you'll fail. He wants you to see that you're worthy. Hallelujah. It's like testing that gold. He's testing it to show you you're worthy. And he says, and he went, he says, to prove him. He says, and he said unto himself, what did you do? He said, he's blah, 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 knew that he would do. Philip answered, he says, this is a penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, listen, see the significance? There was a lad here with five barleys and two small fishes, but they are many among us. They begin to focus on the small. They begin to focus on the little. And that's, I want you to see this and understand this. That they were looking at their flesh and looking at what they don't have. They were looking at they weren't worthy. They weren't looking at they were good enough. They were thinking that what they had wasn't enough. Wasn't good enough to give. Sometimes we're not nice. Sometimes we don't love one another because we think what we have is not enough. So we go the easy route and just hate people. It's easy to shut yourself off and not have anybody in your life. It's easy. Hard thing is letting people in your life that maybe you don't want to, but it'll change you. It'll change you. It'll cause the love of God to flow out of you. And that's what happened here. He said, because he says this to me, he says, give it to me. I'm going to show you. If you give me what you think is little and I touch it, guess what? When heaven touches earth, it multiplies. Listen to me. That little thing that you got, that thing that you're faking being nice for a little bit, when you let God touch it, he'll cause it to multiply and feed thousands. So what you got, hallelujah, is more than enough. That little thing that you think you have, I want you to know that the housewife or the grandmother or whoever, whatever we think, it's not just the preacher standing up here. You mean enough, hallelujah. You're not just the little. You're not the lesser or the waitress or the doorkeeper or the whatever it is. It's not the little. I want you to know that you have enough. You're wonderfully made. And you have something to give. And when God touches it, it multiplies. And that's what he did. They touched it and it multiplied. I'm down here. I'll find a place to land, all right? Takes a lot for this thing to land once it gets off the ground. Don't laugh too hard. Now I think you're making fun of me. He says, I want you to know this. Can you look up Ephesians 3, 14 through 19? So I want to give you these because these are powerful. And it said, I wanted to touch on this because I want us to get this. Are you all right? Am I boring you? I honestly think these are valuable principles. Valuable principles for us to walk with. There you go. But it says this. He said this. He said this. He says that those ones were following for the miracles. They were following him. And I want you to know that God spoke to my heart today. And he said this to me. Why are you following me? I project that out to you. Why am I following Jesus? We really need to ask ourselves that. Why do I follow Jesus? I want you to know that I know why I run after Jesus. I know why I accepted my life as my Savior, because I was a mess. But I'm not really a mess anymore in that way, because He saved me and set me free from being a drug addict. So why am I following Him? I got what I needed. I got delivered. So why am I following Him now? See, I didn't come after Christ because or follow Him because I loved Him. I follow Him because He loved me. See, I want you to know that's what's powerful. It's because He likes me. He liked me. And He thought He wanted a relationship with me. And He loved me. That right there caused me to step out of darkness. Hallelujah. To get up from where I was and to move with Him. It was that love that arrested me, that gripped me and caused me to go. So I need to know that we need to know this and say, why am I following Him? I'm following Him because I'm in love with Him. Because I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. And if you don't feel that, I want you to feel that. I want you to know that. I want you to, it arrests you. I want it to grab you. Say, I want that. I want God to grab me. I want that. Love Him like He loves me. When I do that, when I begin to love Him like He loves me, I love you like He loves me. I love you. I'm going to love you. Why? Because He loves me. I'm not afraid to step over and say, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you because He loves me. Oh, you know, that's the kingdom of God in action. That's the kingdom of God moving, changing things. That's what will get into places and stir things up and cause the enemy to take notice and say, what's happening? What's taking place? Somebody's loving on somebody. Somebody's loving somebody. So we ask that. But I want us to know that moments, who am I following? Who's following me? Moments of faith will have you in the hard times. Moments of faith of stepping out and loving one another. And there's moments where you don't feel like it, but you do it anyways. It'll do something with you. It's like the disciples, because when it was all done, I want you to hear this, and I'm done. The disciples took all the... He says, pick up every bit that's left. That nothing... be lost. He doesn't want anybody to leave this place without giving of who He is in this world. Walking in His purpose. Nothing being lost. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that no man would be lost. He knows that every one of you are valuable. Everybody. And what you have has to be released. Release what you have. And it says when they got in the boat, He says they took them, and every one of them, there were, you know how many buckets there were? How many baskets? 12. How many disciples were they? Help me out. I'm done. 12. How many? Come on, I'm quizzing you. 12. And where did they go? They went in a boat. And you remember what happened in that boat? It was in that boat where Jesus wasn't there at that moment. He was in another place. And they were in the boat. And all of a sudden the storm came. And I want you to remind you to know that underneath their seats in that boat were those buckets of their faith that they released. And they stepped out. We're right there to remind them, hallelujah, that you got what you need. I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you. It's in your boat. It's in your boat. Have faith to believe. Just like you did when you stepped on faith and said, thousands, heaven touched earth. Let heaven touch you in your boat, in the midst of your turmoil, in the midst of your chaos. Reach down under that boat and remind yourself of the faith that you released. And it touched those around you. So, I want to walk in that. Would you stand to your feet as we sing this song? Hallelujah. Come on, just sing out to God.
Here I am to worship. Thank you.
that when we trust in you, we see ourselves the way you see us, that we're all together lovely in Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. We are put together right in the image and likeness of you. We have something to offer. We have an offering that only each and every one of us personally can give, that no one else can give, that you've given to us to give. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that let us be quickened, let us be awakened to the truth. I pray to God, Lord, that we begin to walk in the Spirit daily, not just on Saturdays or Sundays or Wednesdays, but God, we walk every day, striving and reaching and following you, leaving behind that which causes us to be discouraged or upset, and we leave it behind and follow after you. And as we do, those, hallelujah, that are following us that we don't think are following us, they're following Christ too. Lord, I thank you for that, and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And we declare that we're blessed and highly favored. Amen.